everybody. My goodness, I am blown away every single Monday night that this call is so packed out. And we are working on it right now. I promise you that we are going to be opening up the lines even larger so that we can handle the capacity of all of your businesses, because every single week we just get email after email of people saying, I couldn't get on. And they're just bummed because they had guests that they wanted to bring on the call and they weren't able. And so I'm going to apologize ahead of time for all of you who are not able to get on, because you're going to be listening to this on our website, hopefully tomorrow sometime. But anyway, I'm blown away every single week that we get to meet together on this phone line, that we get to share each other's experiences, that each and every one of you are growing in a very powerful way in your businesses. And I'm so very grateful for the loyalty and the camaraderie that we get to have with each other. I'm so very grateful for the seminar that happened in Sacramento. So much phenomenal stuff has come out of that. And as many of you know, I'll just get a couple of announcements out of the way for starters. April 17th and 18th, we're going to be in Dallas, Texas. And to let you know, we are halfway sold out of that event right now. It's only been a week since our last seminar, and the Dallas, Texas event already, 50% of the registrations are already there. Now, we've not had that happen since we went on the road doing these training workshops open to the public, meaning I've always trained only my sales force, but this is the first time that we are allowing other companies to come. Had probably about 20 different companies in the Sacramento seminar, and that was absolutely amazing. Well, since then, we had a lot of leaders from various different companies and even presidents and founders of companies who were there who have already booked us out for several months for the rest of the year. And so I want to encourage you that if you are in earshot of me and you know that's where you need to be, and if you think that you're waiting for me to come to you and into your town, I can't stress enough to do what I did. You know, after 6 months of failing in this business, when I first heard about it being at the age of 19, I'm telling you, I failed miserably. Couldn't sponsor anyone, couldn't sell any product. I had the worst attitude, but I had a tenacity that just kept me going. And when my first person that taught me how to do the business, he gave me four guidelines that I had to work under. And number four was that I had to invest in myself and fly to a training seminar that was out of the city that I was living in. And that seminar, that whole weekend was going to cost me $1,500. And this is what he told me. He says, if you do not go to that seminar, because I asked him, I said, what if I can't go? I'm $25,000 in debt. I haven't made any money at all in 6 months. He says, if you don't, first of all, Danny, if you don't go, I cannot work with you. That's what he said. And he said, and if you can't afford to go, then you can't afford not to go. And so, guys, I'm telling you, the workshops are getting booked up. And this is not a pitch, I promise you. This is a reality. I got a phone call from one company today that took up 45 seats today alone, not to mention all the registrations that came in all this past week for Dallas, Texas. And so, folks, I can't stress enough for you to get yourself registered tonight if you are planning on meeting me in Dallas, Texas, for that two-day life-changing, absolute transformation of your business and your entire life. Everything about you will be transformed, as it's done for many other people. And so I wanted to just give you guys a heads up, because many of you like to wait to the last minute to get yourself registered. If you do that, you're probably not going to get a seat, and that's the truth. So anyway, I am so excited. I hear all these awesome voices on this call, and it drives me crazy that I can't see you. And it drives me crazy that I can't touch and feel every one of you every Monday. I know that's completely unrealistic. But, man, my heart has just been turned towards you, and I've just been growing so fond of so many of you who have been so very faithful to this call, to this training, to everything that we do here on a weekly basis. And we're giving it our best shot to help you improve your business, and you're giving it your best shot to improve your own business. And so together we are moving mountains, and this is very, very, very exciting. I also wanted to thank all of you guys for sending me the testimonies that you have from the last seminar and from the past seminars. For many of you, you've been to many of them. I am so grateful for your testimonies. It is a word of encouragement for me, and it keeps me going on a daily basis, knowing that I'm on the right path and that I'm making a difference somehow. And I want to encourage you guys to do the same thing. Tonight's going to be a little different. I'm excited, because we are going to answer the questions of the people who've been sending me emails with their questions. Now, each week I let everybody know, if you have a question concerning your business, anything about your business other than your product and your compensation plan, because this call is not specific to any one company. I do specific company conference calls as the corporations bring me on board to do those things, but that is not what this call is. We probably have 40 different companies, 40 different types of distributors that are on the phone tonight. And so we're not going to talk about products, and we're not talking about your comp plan or your company. We are specifically just here to talk about you as a distributor and what is going to help you succeed to the next level that you totally, absolutely, 100% deserve and desire for yourself and for your family. And so you can email me questions. I'm not saying and I'm not promising that I'm going to answer them on the following call, but when I do an open call like I am right now of answering people's questions, then I can do it then. Now, I'm going to use the first half hour of this call to go through the emails that I've gotten of questions and answer those. And then I'm going to open up the rest of the call, open up the line so that each and every one of you can ask me some direct questions that hopefully I can help you with. Anyway, to kind of capitalize on tonight and to help it to be much more efficient for you, I always start with where I came from. And I told you that I failed the first 6 months until I invested in myself. I'm going to give you the three other guidelines that he gave me. And he told me that if I didn't follow these guidelines, then it was over. Our relationship was over. And I was literally starving. I was hungry. I wanted to succeed so bad that it pushed me into a desperate, teachable state of mind. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that God allowed me to get to that very teachable, very desperate state of mind. Because when we are teachable, things sink in and we actually do what we're told. And so the first thing he told me was that I was not allowed to give him any excuses at all. No excuses, or if I gave him one excuse, then our relationship was over. The second thing he told me was that I could not give him any opinions or suggestions, or our relationship was over. The third thing he said was, if he told me to do something and I did not do it, our relationship was over. And the fourth thing is what I told you. He told me I had to invest in my education to become a professional in this business and go to a training seminar that would give me the true foundations of how to build this business, because I obviously was doing it wrong. I wasn't making anything of what I should have been making. And so those four things that he gave me were life-altering experiences, plus the investment into my future was amazing, because what if I didn't go? What if I did not go to that first training seminar? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I would have quit. I would have had to have quit. How much longer could I have gone on living on my credit cards? There's not much longer is the absolute reality. And so came out of that and brought in 25 business builders in 8 days, made $4,000. The next check was 11 grand, then 15, then 21. Ran off, married in a fairy tale type setting, which turned into an absolute nightmare from hell. The man I married on a whim turned out to be a complete con artist, drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards, leaving me with a $35,000 debt, totally, completely homeless. And I mean completely homeless. It was devastating. It was degrading. It was demoralizing. It was depressing. I was oppressed. I was suicidal. I wanted to give up on everything. I wanted to give up on everything. And I remember the day that I completely gave up on my dreams and said, I wish I was just a cocktail waitress. That's all I want to be. I don't want to be anything more. And one day I woke up on, actually Christmas Day, I went to a beach party and something snapped in my head. And once I got that snap, I got my towel after partying with a bunch of people who were doing drugs and alcohol and who were sleeping around and heading a lifestyle that I wanted nothing to do with, and yet I was on that path along with them, decided to wake myself up. And I really believe it was a divine appointment with my maker saying, hello, girlfriend, get off your pity party and let's go to work. And I did. The very next day, started in a brand new business, a business I knew nothing about, and in 4 days turned a profit of $2,000, and I only had 10 hours to work that because I was working as a cocktail waitress. The next 30 hours I put in was $6,500. Why am I telling you this? Because you never know. You never know when your business is about to turn. You never know when it's about to explode. You never know when you're about to have somebody answer one of your ads or a lead that you're going to call that's going to take this thing seriously and go for it. And you never know when you're about to meet somebody that takes it to a level that you never could have taken it yourself. You just never know. And that's why you must never quit. And you must never prejudge anybody. The girl that placed that advertisement that I answered, she had no idea that this homeless cocktail waitress would make her commission on me alone was a six-figure income. single mom of four children, never made that kind of money before in her life. Her biggest check ever in that company was $2,000. She met one homeless cocktail waitress who made her a six-figure income that year. I profited $250,000 that year and went on to make my first million by the time I turned 23 years of age. Went on to do that a few more times after that. Now, I'm not saying it's because I'm great. I'm saying this. We work in a great industry. I serve a great God who I believe handpicked each and every one of us to be involved in this industry. And the question I have for you is, are you going to submit to that call? It is not by accident that your hands have found this industry. It's not by accident that your hands have found your company. It's not by accident that you're hearing my voice. It is ordained, and there's a purpose in it. And the question is are you going to work this deal as hard as you work your job, meaning with the same level of commitment? And some of you need to raise your commitment levels even on your job. But that's what I did. I worked this with the same commitment level that the president and founder of the company I was working for. So can you do the same for yourself? Because I promise you, and you will come to me someday. You will come to me someday. And you will confess, Danny, when my commitment level changed, is when my business totally changed. When I decided that I was going to do this and do whatever it took to make it, it changed. When I gave this the same level of commitment that I did my job, everything changed. And so, folks, I promise you, if you work this with the same level of commitment, you will just explode. And that's the truth. Okay, let me go to these questions. Here's a question from Wendy Sanka. And Wendy says that, how do I get over my social phobias so I can be successful? Wendy, that is a great question. I hope you're on this call tonight. You sent me this email just about a week ago. And what I will tell you is this. You need to go to First Steps to Success. There's no question that is the answer to your social phobias. There is a lot that happens in that training seminar, especially concerning people with social phobias. You will discover what caused that. You will discover how to break free from that, and you will discover a whole new self that you did not even know existed, and you will find that your business will completely go to a whole nother level. That is honestly the thing that you need to do. There's no other way around it. I hope that you have found your maker and your savior, and through his guidance, I hope he guides you to Dallas, Texas next month, because your business depends on it, and there's no question about it. So if any of you have any fears socially, fears of talking to people, fears of talking on the phone, fears of success, anything like that, you need to be in Dallas, Texas. There's no question about that, because you will break free as tens of thousands of other people have also broken free from those social fears. The other thing, if you are not in a position and if your excuses are bigger than your desires, then I suggest that you go to DannyJohnson.com, and there's some CDs called the Raleigh, North Carolina seminar, and that was done back in September, and we've had absolute insane testimonies of people being able to also break free on certain levels with those CDs itself. And so that'll be the best $97 investment you've ever made in your life, because these social phobias are going to carry on throughout the rest of your life. When you go to a soccer game with your son, when you are on your job, there will be promotions that will pass by you if you have those kinds of social phobias. That's not the way that it was intended by your God to make you. By any stretch of the imagination, he didn't make you that way. Every single one of us were not born to be hermits in a closet. Find me a two-year-old that is. The reality is that we were born with enthusiasm, we were born with tenacity, we were born with faith, we were born with persistence, we were born with the gift to get over it. Every single one of us were born with those things. You don't believe me? Find a two-year-old that doesn't have all those things. And so the reality is that somebody taught you or experience happened in your life, Wendy, that caused you to be this way. And I would love to be used to be able to help you break free from all of those things. That would be absolutely awesome, and let you be the next huge testimony of someone that was afraid. In fact, let me tell you a story. There was a woman at my seminar in January in Reston, Virginia, and everyone that's on the phone from that seminar will remember Margaret. And you know, something came over me, and some of you know what that is, and she was sitting in the front row, very quiet, meek woman, beautiful Asian woman who was sitting there, and I could just see it on her that she had some social issues and some social phobias, and that she was as quiet as a mouse, and I mean as quiet as a mouse. Well, it turned out that she spent that weekend with us and wound up having a word of encouragement go through her, and really she had those social phobias broken off of her. Well, she emails us, and she actually gets on that Monday night conference call, and this is what happens. She says, after going to your training seminar, I broke through the fear of talking to people. She says, I've been in network marketing for 8 years, and I've never talked to anybody, and I would buy leads and never call them. She goes, I talked to three people after the seminar was all done, just going through the hotel. She talked to three people in there, just making conversation with them from the things that she learned there and discovering what was hindering her, and she broke free from it. This woman is now purchasing leads and now making phone calls. And so what I have to tell you, Wendy, is are you willing to pay the price to get over those social phobias so you can have a much more fulfilling life with your spouse, your coworkers, your church, your children, and your new business opportunity? So do what Margaret did in Reston, Virginia, and take a leap of faith and go for it. Okay, here's another question. Oh, and I threw away the page that had the very bottom line on it. It says Decrediva, and so I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and I apologize if I'm not. It says, what do you say to a 62-year-old woman who would like to make extra income, and when asked to check something out, her response is, I have a sick mother living with me, so I can't go anywhere, and I don't know anyone. Okay? This is Karen. So the woman's name is Karen. Maybe her last name is Dickrow. I don't know. Okay, you ready, Karen? Next! That's what you say. You see, some people may tell you, they tell you what you want to hear, but you always watch what they do. And so this, I have a sick mother living with me, so I can't go anywhere, and I don't know anyone, is telling you that her excuses are more important to her than her future. Because her excuse of having a sick mother living with her so she can't go anywhere and don't know anyone, that is more important to her than her, let's say, breaking out of, in fact, it says right here, she's 62 years old and needs to make extra income. Karen, here's the deal. Now, I'm not being insincere with the sick mother. I understand that. I've taken care of my mother since I was 11 years old. On top of my five children, okay? No, I didn't have five kids at 11, but you know what I'm saying. But the deal is this. That does sick mom need somebody there 24/7? Well, if she does, then find another family member to help out. Actually, let me not even go into this argument because it's a waste of all of our time. Let me tell you this. If the woman's desire to make extra money and if her need is great enough, she will work out the logistics with the sick mother. And she'll find somebody to talk to, either buying leads, doing some advertising or what have you. And let me prove this to you. Because if I sat there with the 62-year-old woman and I said to her, listen, I'm going to give you a check for $50,000. Now, this check is dated from 1 year from today. Okay? 1 year from today, you will be able to cash this check for $50,000. Now, let's call this woman Sue. So, Sue, let me ask you, what are you willing to do for this extra $50,000 that you will be able to cash 1 year from today? And Sue, let me tell you, I need commitment. I need X amount of hours per week. I need 10 hours a week. I need you to show up for these three conference calls per week. And this, so you need to find an extra 10 hours a week plus three conference calls per week. Plus you need to go to a training seminar, next month. And I will guarantee you this $50,000 check that you can cash 1 year from today. What do you think that 62-year-old woman is going to say? What do you think Sue is going to say? Done deal, man. I'll give you 10 hours. Why? Oh, because people love guarantees. Well, here's what's sad. If she actually do what I told her to do and put in 10 hours a week, was on three conference calls or three home presentations or whatever it is, and I said, and all I did was promise her $50,000, I could very well have hurt her income. But the reality is this, that she no longer had the excuse of I don't know anyone and I can't go anywhere. Because now 10 hours a week plus three conference calls plus going to seminar in Dallas was not a problem. So here's the proof. If it is worth it, then they are willing to take the risk. That's the bottom line. So Karen, you have two options here. If she's running you ragged into circles and off on these bunny trails and whining about her situation, then next, don't waste the time. Or if the person really truly does have the desire to make extra money and needs help solving this problem with the sick mother and the not knowing anybody, then you go the next step forward. And this is what I would say. I'd say, Sue, let me ask you something. Is it truly that you do want to make extra money and that you truly do need it and you just don't know how to solve the problem with the sick mother and not being able to go anywhere? Just tell me up front so I don't waste either one of our time, Sue. And guess what Sue's going to say? Either she's going to tell you the truth. Really is that I don't want to do this. Or she's going to say, no, really, I need to make extra money. We don't make ends meet. I've got to figure something out. Okay, well, why don't we sit down and troubleshoot and figure out how to solve the problem? The not knowing anyone is not a problem because that's easy. There's advertising. There's leads that can be done for that. That's not a problem. As far as not going anywhere, you really don't have to worry about that either because we have lots of people who work their business right from the comfort of their own home. So if the real issue is that you truly want to make more money and you just need help solving these problems, let's go ahead and troubleshoot now. And there you go. And that is to get down to the bottom line root issue. Karen, I hope I helped you. Okay, here is Doris from Montreal, Canada. She says, I would like to know if you can give me some tips when displaying my product at a woman's show and hoping they will call back the company and put in an order. Also, are there any future plans doing a seminar in Eastern Canada? Unfortunately, not as of yet. And so, Doris in Montreal, I cannot encourage you enough to jump on a plane and get out to Dallas, Texas. It will be the best. In fact, there's people on the phone right now from Alaska who on a whim, within week's notice, a week or 2 weeks' notice, some of them within days' notice, flew from Alaska all the way to North Carolina. That is a long flight. Came through that training seminar and said it was the most amazing thing that they had ever experienced and broke through things that they tried to break through for 20 years. So, Doris, I can't tell you enough. If you're hearing me, I know this, that if you weren't supposed to be there, you'd heard it after the Dallas seminar. That's a guarantee. Okay, so tips on displaying your product at a woman's show. Well, first of all, usually displays, and this is what I would do, is I would find somebody in your company who is doing that successfully. That's the first thing that I would do, is if there's somebody successful, and you just have to network and ask around, who is successfully displaying products at women's shows, and how are they doing it? In fact, I would even go and watch them do what they do if they're very good at it and they're getting good results. The other thing is this. Shows, in my opinion, are nothing but an opportunity to network, to meet people, and to build relationships. When you go home, you call those people in which you made relationships with, and then at that point, you pitch them on your product. If all you're doing is going and having a booth in a woman's show, and there's hundreds of other products, or even 50 other products, then, in fact, I can guarantee you there's probably a high percentage of products that are just like yours. The only thing that you need to do is stand out of the crowd, Doris, and your products are not going to make that happen. You are going to be the one that makes that happen because they are buying you. And so you want to do whatever you can to build a relationship with each person that comes in contact with your booth. Take notes. You know, after the person leaves, get a little 3x5 card, write down some notes. Figure out a way to have them give you their name, address, and telephone number, whether you're doing a free drawing to give away, which I highly recommend, to give away $100 worth of product this month or whatever it is. Pick out your number one seller. We're doing a free drawing. We're giving this away. Leave your name, address, and telephone number and your email address, and we'll call you and let you know who won the drawing. And so that's how I would do that. But the thing that you must do, absolutely must do, is build a rapport, build relationships. And, Doris, I don't know how familiar you are on my site, but go get the North Carolina CDs because that will absolutely make a gigantic difference with you building a rapport, making friends first, and standing out of the crowd, outside of the rest of the people who are in that woman's show. You want to make a difference in that show. You want to stand out in that show, so you're going to have to do things a little different than everybody else is doing. And so that's the way it is. Do not expect that because they saw your product at the show that they will call your company and put it in order. In fact, that is a business model that I do not recommend that you use, and here's why. Because companies can mess up. We've had many situations with that, you know, where a company, you know, let's say doesn't ask enough questions about who they heard about it from. Oh, I don't know, some lady I met at a woman's show. Oh, really? I'm sorry. Well, we'll just put you in as an orphan or whatever. That is absolutely the wrong way to go. This is your business, and you're contracting in that company to supply you with a paycheck for the work and effort that you put in and to fulfill for product fulfillment. Customer service, yes, but I would not use them and solely depend on them to receive those orders when it was just a show off someplace and the person's not going to remember you or they lose your business card or the brochure or whatever. They just remember the name and dial 1-800 da 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 and somehow find the company. And so I can't stress enough that you got to stand out different. Doris, go to my site, DannyJohnson.com. Get the CDs from North Carolina and learn how to stand out of the crowd, especially in our competitive market today. And it can be done, and you can do it successfully. Okay, here's a question from my favorite, one of my favorites, Roberta out in Florida. We finally got to meet face-to-face in Sacramento. Okay, she says, when you three-way prospects into a company call, and when the call is over, they are not there, would you call them back? If so, what would you say to him or her? You know, Roberta, it depends. I have called some people back. The vast majority, no. And the ones that I would call back are the ones that I really clicked with on the phone. The ones that I really built, that I felt that we connected, that there was a good rapport that was built. Now I'll call them back and say, man, Tom, did you get disconnected or something? I'm so sorry. Did I mess up that three-way call? And guess what he's going to say? You're letting him save face. Either he's going to lie to you and say, oh, yeah, I must have got disconnected. And you say, well, just hold on 1 minute. It was recorded. Three-way you in again. Either that or he's going to say, you know, it just wasn't for me. Oh, Tom, that's so great. I thank you so much for your time, and I wish you the best, and God bless you. And, Tom, by the way, do you know of anybody that is really looking to take a home-based business seriously, who is really looking to generate $2,000 to $3,000 a month part-time from home within the first 6 months of them being involved in business? Do you know of anybody, Tom? Yes, and then you be silent. And let Tom say what he's going to say. Okay, Tom, could you just let me know? Who right off the bat? You know, we're having some explosive growth, especially we're building out your area in which you're living in, and we need some very serious people who want to earn some serious income. And usually what happens is they kind of get the chance to reopen the door. And what it was is maybe they didn't like the presentation, so then I'll just go ahead and go through the presentation right there with them on the phone. So, Roberta, there you go. Most cases, not. If I get a dud, forget it. No way. I'm not following up. Okay, here's another question. This is from Sue and Cliff Seward, which I had a great opportunity to conference call with them last week, I believe. And Oh, and by the way, and they also have made a huge commitment of people that are coming to Dallas. And Sue, if you're on the phone, just know that we're over 50% capacity right now. So I know that you guys are trying hard to get a lot of people there, and you guys are doing a great job at doing that. So just let your people know that it's filling up really fast, and they don't want to not be able to get in. Okay, so here it is. It says, I get other experienced network marketers calling me all the time. They leave me messages pretending to be interested in our business. When I call them back, they are really trying to cross-recruit me, and I always tell them, I can always tell, so I let them go on with their spiel. Sue, the first thing I'm going to tell you is don't you dare let them go on with their spiel. Let me tell you why. Because it is a seed of doubt that will get planted. I promise you, Sue, I know you're strong in your opportunity. But don't you dare, when you are building the kind of business that you're building and you truly believe in the opportunity that you're in, don't you dare. When you're focused, do not take the focus off the vehicle in which you are working, because that's all it takes is that, oh, and I've had this happen to me myself, that they plant this little tiny seed, you know, the little pebble in your shoe, that if you let it stay there, through time, that pebble is going to start to fester on your feet. And it's going to start to, you know, boil and ooze and pus is going to come out of it. And then you're going to start limping. And then your back's going to be all jacked up because you're walking different because your hips are all out of place. And then you're at the chiropractor spending hundreds of dollars and you're in pain. Are you with me, Sue? Don't even go there. Do not let them go on with their spiel. To be honest with you, that's an unethical thing that they are doing. First of all, the pretenses are a lie. The pretenses are a lie. They are baiting the hook that they're interested in what you had, and the whole reality is they were just trying to cross-recruit you into something else. That is not a person you want to work with. And so if you can tell that's what they're doing, you next them right away. And you say, goodbye, thanks so much, you have an awesome day, and God bless you. And that's what you do. Here's the other thing, Sue. If this is happening to you, I can guarantee you it's happening to some of your people. And so I would highly recommend that you immunize them just as you immunized your children, if you did that. I know some of you don't do that, but if you did, you immunize them, you protect them from it. I'm not saying control, I'm saying protect, meaning you tell them. If and when somebody calls you under the pretenses that they are interested in yours, but the reality is they're trying to recruit you in something, don't even listen to their spiel. Just thank them for their time and see you later. Goodbye. Okay? I hope you caught my drift on that one. Don't you dare listen to their spiel. No, no, no. She says, they usually never ask me about what I do or how I am, my family, or show any interest in me. She's obviously listened to the CDs or my conference call. They just start in with their spiel, and that's where I would say, you know what, excuse me, I really appreciate you giving me a call, but, you know, I am totally not going to listen any longer, or, you know, I appreciate you taking the chance, but to be honest with you, since this call started off with pretenses of you interested in what I have and the reality is all you're doing is pitching me on what I have, And I'm sorry, that's an ethical issue that I could never submit to. Ooh, Sue, give it to him, man. That's what I'd say. Now, for the rest of you guys that can't say something like that, and I totally understand that there is a personality that just doesn't like confrontation, this is what you say. I'm really sorry, but I don't want to waste your time. I am very solid in my opportunity. God bless you, and have a great day, and then hang up. Okay? That's what you need to do. Because you are allowing a lie. You are allowing the voice of the crafty one to enter in your mind. It will weaken your strength in your opportunity. Okay, here's another one. She says, here's the question one of them asked me recently when I asked him after I realized he was calling to cross-recruit. She said, I said, so, you're obviously an experienced networker, right? Oh, yes, I've made millions and we've traveled all over the world playing. I said, so, how can I help you? And he said, well, I call other networkers that email me and I ask them if they are making $30,000 a month yet. Then he proceeds to ask me this, what type of comp plan does your company have? She says, what do you say to this person? I say, goodbye. That's what I say to this person. The pretenses were false, they were crafty, they were lying, they were deceitful, and no thank you, I would never, ever, ever in a million years work with somebody who does that. If you're going to deceive, you can forget it, because the bottom line is there's nothing but curses that come along with deception. That's the reality. You cannot build a solid business by starting it in a crafty way like that. You've got to be upfront and honest, and this guy is not upfront and honest at all. He was trying to cross-recruit. In fact, look what he's doing. He's looking for somebody else's sheep to steal. He is reaping in fields that he did not sow in. Hello? That's not someone you want to work with. Period. End of story. Okay, this next person, Gail Abbott, says, do you have any techniques for increasing attendance at in-home presentations? Great question. I know about 50% of our attendance on this call do home parties, and the other 50 don't. Now, for those of you that do, and for those of you that don't, this is going to apply to everybody, because you all need to know how to get people to show up to any kind of presentation, no matter which way you're doing it, online, conference calls, or in a home, or in a hotel, or in an office, or what have you. Okay, so do I have any techniques for increasing attendance at a home presentation? Well, Gail, this is what I'm going to suggest to you. If you haven't already, you need to get the North Carolina CDs, and here's why. On there, it gives you the absolute foundational teachings for building a rapport with people, getting commitments from people, finding their why, and finding their needs, and being able to fill those needs. And really what it is it's developing a desperation in other people that they have to show up. And so, obviously, there's something that you need to know, Gail, also, is that there's a law of averages in everything that we do. There is a law of averages. You know, for example, Babe Ruth was known as the home run king, but what most people don't know is he was also known for getting the most strikeouts. He was called the strikeout king as well. And so that's how our business works. And so in the beginning, you know, our odds are usually not for us. But as we get better in skill through training seminars, investing into ourselves, conference calls like this, my website, other training tapes, and if you don't like any of my stuff, go find somebody else, Gail. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I want to see you succeed is the most important thing. And so once you raise your skill level, then your ratios change for the better, which means that you could work less and get better results. And so to increase attendance in a home presentation, first thing is don't tell them everything about what the meeting is going to be about. That's the point of the meeting in your home. The point of the meeting in your home is to inform them about what you're doing and how you're doing it and why you're excited. Do not give them all the information on the phone at all. Absolutely no question. Do not tell them what the product is. Do not tell them about what the opportunity is. Don't even go there. You want to just say, I really need your help. You could say, for example, Gail, if I was calling you, you're my friend, I'm doing a home party. So I said, Gail, what are you doing tomorrow night at 7:15? Nothing. Good. Get your calendar out right now. Okay. Why? Come on, just get your calendar out. All right. I need to see you tomorrow at 7:15 at my house. For what? Gail, please, just, you have to be here for me. I really need your help, and I really, really trust that you're going to give me that help, but you need to be here. And I really trust you, and I trust your opinion. So please just be here at 7:15. It is so very important to me. Okay, that's what I would do with a friend. Another thing is that let's say I'm calling somebody who was a referral. I would get on the phone with Gail. I would build an incredible rapport. I'd find a name and say, wow, it just so happens, Gail, what are you doing tomorrow night at 7:15? Oh, actually, I don't have anything going on. going on tomorrow at 7:15. You just finished telling me that you have a need financially, that you would be doing so much better off if you can increase your income by $1,000 a month. Is that, are you serious about that? Well, yeah, I am very serious about that. How serious are you about increasing your income by $1,000 a month? Oh, I'm very serious. What would you be willing to do to make an extra $1,000 a month? How many hours would you be willing to work? Oh, gosh, I don't know, 10, 20 hours a week, okay? Well, you know, I don't know if what our company has to offer is necessarily what your skills or talents and abilities would be able to do. But let's do this. Why don't we meet tomorrow night at 7:15? I've just hit it off with you, and I just love your personality. It's been fun talking to you. But since you have a willingness to earn extra money and you're willing to work for it, you know, some of those people are, Gail. They just don't want to work with it. They're just looking for a handout. You're not one of them. Why don't you come over tomorrow night, and I'd like to kind of have you go through an interviewing process. And, we'll just see. After we're done talking, then we'll see whether or not that we're going to be able to work together. Okay, so let me give you directions, da-da-da-da-da. And make sure that they're writing the directions down. Let them repeat them to you, and da-da-da-da. It's really about creating an eager want for them to be there is really what it is. And honestly, I could train for hours on just this one topic alone, and we just don't have the time. Gail, I hope that gave you a couple little nuggets and where to go to get some more information on that. Okay, this is from Bonnie Sivan and Bill Smith. It says, how to invite people to a meeting and have them show up. What would be the best way to say it? My partner and I have invited people and even called the night before to verify. Some still don't show. Guess what, Bonnie? Good job! Because some are still just not going to show. That's the way it is. You know, whether they got a flat tire on the way, one of the kids got sick, da-da-da-da-da, whatever the blah-blah excuse is, there's always going to be blah-blah somebody with an excuse, okay? And that's just truly the way it goes. And so do not expect that if you're going to invite 20 people, that 20 people are going to show. In fact, when I get a brand new person started in my business, that's what I say to them. I say, Bonnie, let me tell you something. This is the way it works. When you call your friends, I want you to tell your friends that you need their help, that you need someone to practice on, that your director or whatever, your supervisor, whatever, is going to be donating some time to you to help you with your new career. And that you need some bodies to practice on, and you would really appreciate it if they could help you out in this way, and it would make me look really good if you came, because I'm trying to get a good amount of people so that I can practice with, and it would help me tremendously, and it make me look really good in front of my director. So can you help me out, please? I promise I owe you one if you'll come. Okay, that's a little bit of begging and groveling, but whatever works. Okay, so anyway, I show the importance of how badly I need them, and this is what I tell Bonnie. Let me tell you something. Out of all your friends that you're going to call, and I want you to call 30 or 40 people and invite them for Thursday night at 7:15, I'm going to tell you that you're only going to have 5 show up. In fact, you may have none show up. Let me tell you why. It's not because your friends don't like you, but it's because the tire blew up, or the kids got sick, or the something came up, or they had something else that they had to do. The reality is this, that if you're going to call a lot of people, just expect that a certain percentage is going to show up. So just call as many people as you possibly can. Burn through your list as quickly as you can, because knowing that a few are going to show. And that's all we need. We just need a few. So if you want a few to show, you got to call a lot. If you want a lot to show, you got to call a ton. Okay? So you got to get busy on the phone and call as many people as you can. Bonnie, I hope that helps. And again, the same advice to you. In fact, you guys are asking a lot of those kind of questions. Maybe I need to do a training on this. I literally could spend 4 hours just teaching how to do a successful home presentation, or just the presentation itself. Okay, here's another one. This is from Don Simons, and it says, what is the best way to reapproach former leads who were not interested in the product or the business 1 or more years ago? What would you say to them? Nothing. I wouldn't call them. I would look for some brand new fresh leads. I'd have much better shot with brand new fresh leads. Chances are phone numbers have been disconnected since the lead is a year old. If this is a lead that you purchased, or if this is a friend, then I just call it to reconnect. Number two, when you wanted to duplicate yourself in another distributor, what process did you use to do that? In other words, what specific steps did you take to clone yourself in another person? John, this is a really great question, and I had this question come up at my seminar in Sacramento last weekend. And I've duplicated myself many times. And what I actually, as far as systems go and things like that, you have to understand that, Don, that not any one of us is completely duplicatable. All of us are an individual to the point that our thumbprint is only by itself. There's not another person that has Don's thumbprint. And so duplication, systems are easy to duplicate, people are not necessarily. And so what I look for when I'm looking for a clone is I am looking for somebody who is absolutely teachable and eager, looking for somebody who's got some talent, some skill, some ability. I will take absolute desire, hard work, and teachable over talent and skill and ability over any day of the week. So the heart of the matter is I'm looking for somebody who has a strong desire, who is teachable and willing to go to work and pay whatever price it is, and they do everything I tell them to do. And that is the beginning of someone who is moldable, that is a jar of clay, who is able to be molded by the potter to become the best that they can be. By the potter, by the way, not me. And so the reality is that that's what you have to find, first of all, in a person, and you have to find that desire. If you're trying to duplicate yourself from people who are lazy, who are unmotivated, who are not committed, who are whining, and have just nothing but a bunch of lame excuses, I can guarantee you that's going to be one heck of a hard, hard, hard battle. You're going to waste a lot of time trying to duplicate yourself in that. So, John, you got to find someone who is as serious about your business as you are, and this is the process that I used. I built my business, and still to this day build my business on this system, is that we put them in front of a two-day training seminar monthly. And in that two-day training seminar, all of the hindering excuses and all their hindering self-confidence issues, self-worth issues, all their issues concerning their past, present, and future are eliminated. And they are looking face-to-face at what it's going to take to be able to build their business, the skills, the talent, the ability. They get an infusion of a professional way to build their business, and that is what puts them on the road to success in duplicating my efforts. And that's how I've done it. That is literally how I've done it. Now, let me tell you the beautiful thing about that is this. Let's say, Dawn, that you bring in Sarah, and I want you to draw this out. You bring in Sarah, and Sarah brings in Bob. Let's say that Sarah is that type of person that would just give the last shirt off her back to somebody, that she doesn't care about making money. She's really just here to want to help as many people as she can. She doesn't care about going out there and breaking records and all that kind of stuff. That's not her shtick. Her shtick is helping people. Okay, and let's say Bob brings in Troy. And let's say that Troy's similar to Sarah, but Troy is like, man, I want to go for it. I want to build this sucker. I want to go out there and knock the world off. Okay, now here's the deal. Troy is looking at Bob and Sarah going, I don't want to do it this way. I don't like it your way. Well, this is what worked in my business, Dawn, is that no matter where somebody is in the line, we just told everybody, come to this training seminar, and here's why. Because Troy now had the ability to plug into an expert who was on fire, who was building the business fast, who was out there knocking the world off. And so that's exactly why we duplicated so fast. And most of the people I duplicated, by the way, were not first level. They were down in somebody's sales force who wound up coming to a training seminar that caught the picture, who got over their excuses, who were teachable, who I stirred desire in, woke up their passion, and they went for it. So anyway, if you'd like to duplicate the way that I did, I suggest you doing the same thing. Put them in front of the two-day training seminar event in Dallas, Texas, and that'll be the beginning of your duplicating efforts. Okay, I can't do that one. And I can't do that one. And I will do this one. Nick Trzyski. Nick was at our seminar in Sacramento. And Nick, I hope you're on the call. Here we go. It says that he is doing he's placing some ads in college newspapers, and if I could give him some ideas for what should be placed in that ad. Well, Nick, what I would do is look in the college newspapers already. See what is already being placed in those papers and look at what you would answer. Use similar verbiage. Make sure you stand out of the crowd. Come up with something that's compelling. You want a call to action type of an ad. Look through there. I mean, I don't know what the paper is showing, but if you look through there, you will find some ads. You want to make sure that your header is very bold and has a great statement. For example, an ad that I used for years. In fact, it's on my website. It's the same ad that we used for years, and it was, in fact, at the time it was 23-year-old broke cocktail waitress becomes a millionaire in 2 years. That is a compelling ad. I would most definitely use an age factor in your ad. You could even use my testimony in that. I mean, I'm a representative of the industry, and so that's what you can use for that also. And so find out how a 23-year-old cocktail waitress, uneducated, became a millionaire in 2 years. You know, or 21. I was 21 when I was a cocktail waitress. 21-year-old cocktail waitress became a millionaire in 2 years. And with no education. That's compelling. They're like, what? They got to know. And then you could put, you know, part-time, full-time, that sort of thing. So anyway, there you go. I'm going to open up the lines now and and see if I can take any of your questions in, to begin with. Okay, hold on 1 second, guys. Okay, I think we are all live. Is everybody out there?
Hello.
There we are. Okay.
Do you have a question, Susan?
Well, my biggest thing is just really getting started and knowing how to speak with people without being I don't want to do all the talking, and I don't want to turn people off by being too excited, and I guess just that basic first step.
Okay, who are you?
My name is Sue, and I'm in Iowa.
Hi, Sue from Iowa. How are you doing tonight?
Fine, thanks.
Good. Okay, Sue, this is a great thing. I am so happy to hear that you do not want to turn people off and you don't want to talk too much. You have no idea how excited I am that you said that, because that is the bottom line foundation of how I teach for people to talk to people. In fact, Sue, I don't want you to do a lot of talking. I want you to get other people to do all the talking. How you control conversation is by asking questions. Let them fill in the blanks to your questions, and what you will find is they will tell you exactly how to get them involved in their business. They will spell it out and make it plain to you. Now, I'm assuming that Fawn Christensen was the person who cut you on the call because I heard her say, Sue, do you have any questions? And so, Sue, I would recommend you do what Fawn did, and that is go to my site and get the North Carolina CDs, because that whole thing will tell you exactly how you do the least amount of talking, you get the other person talking, how they will tell you specifically what their needs are and how they will basically walk into your business when you are not the one confronting them, you're not the one hyping them up, and you're not the one selling them. So I hope that you take that step, and I hope you let me know what happens in your business, because it is a profound way to build a business, and it's actually a blast to do it that way, because there is no rejection and there is no wall of discomfort between you and a prospect. Your prospect is merely having a blast talking about themselves, and all you do is repeat what they said, and then bada boom, bada bing, and they're in. So that's the first step for you, Sue. And you're on the right track because you don't want to talk.
Right.
Just perfect. Anybody else out there with a question or a comment?
Yeah, I have a question.
Who are you?
This is David Willis.
Hi, David Willis. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
Great. What can I do for you?
When you're calling prospects that you, the second time that you call and you've established a rapport, and you thought you would get them to your website the time that they had agreed on, and they don't, how soon do you call them back? And what do you say if you do call them back?
Okay, so David, you're saying that you called them back. In other words, you had the first contact with them, you built a rapport, you sent them to a website, or you sent them information, and now you had a follow-up call. Did you establish the follow-up appointment when you were on the phone with them the first time?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so let's say this is now the second call. This is the first follow-up call, and the first thing you ask them is, so, David, did you get a chance to review the information that I sent you? And he says no. Is that what you're saying, David?
Yeah.
Okay, and he says no. Then I say, okay, this is one of two things. Depending on the rapport that I built, and the first thing that I'm going to say to him, David, is I'm going to retract the conversation that I had with him earlier and say, hey, how's the kids, or how's this, how was work, how's your boss, reminding him of the conversation that we had and letting him know that I actually paid attention. And then I would say, okay, well, David, did you get a chance to review that information? And he says, no, I didn't. I say, okay, well, what happened? Well, David, what happened?
Yeah, well, I had to help my brother move.
Okay. So, David, is it really that you needed to help your brother move, or between the first time I talked to you and now, did you just completely lose interest in being able to get out of debt?
Okay. I think, well, I want to get out of debt. I need to help my brother.
Okay. Well, David, you know what? You've got my name and telephone number, and you've got the information. When you are really serious about taking your financial future seriously and wanting to get out of debt, I want you to go ahead and give me a call. So the ball right now is in your court. I just want to wish you well. I hope that move with your brother was worth it and that you did a great job. I hope you didn't hurt your back. Is your back okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anyway, I just want to wish you the best, and when you're ready to get serious about getting that $25,000 debt behind you instead of in front of you, then, you know, you go ahead and give me a call.
What with my brother?
God bless you, David. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
And this is what's going to happen, David, is that one of two things are going to happen. One is he's going to, no, wait a minute, wait, I am serious. Or, guess what, he's going to say, okay, goodbye. one of the two, he's going to next himself, or he's going to say, wait, I am serious, I'm sorry, Danny, I'm really sorry. Okay, I'll go look at it right now. I said, okay, call me back in 15 minutes when you're done looking at it.
Come here.
Okay,
does that help, David?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't realize you need to come on that strong.
David.
Hey, Lonnie in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hello, Lonnie, how are you?
Great, I love your energy. First time hearing you.
Thank you. Well, welcome to the call.
Well, thank you. Quick question. I'm working with a company now that pays commissions out on a daily basis, and just started with them. And I wanted to know about placing ads in daily papers, like in the sales and marketing, looking for professional salespeople, your opinion on the type of ad and then what to say when they leave their information at a recording.
Okay, Lonnie, this is a great question. Many years ago, the very first business opportunity I got involved in 15 years ago, that's the way we built it. We placed ads in help wanted sections for sales and marketing.
Okay.
That worked 15 years ago. This is the year 2004. Things have changed a little bit. In fact, we hit the market so very strong that most papers will not take your ad. If they have any idea that you're a network marketing opportunity, they will not do business with you.
You got to be sneaky, yeah.
And let me tell you, the precedence in which that does is that people feel misled because they think they're looking for a job. Now, I built a gigantic sales force by using ads like that. Okay, I did do that. What I will tell you is that there are plenty of places to find people who are deadly serious about finding a home-based business. And so, therefore, you don't have to fish in a pond where the first hook is deception. You can actually fish in a pond where people are looking for you.
Okay.
So, for example, if you go to my site on vendors, there's a vendors list, a suggested vendors list. ROM Success has some great leads that you can purchase. And these are people who responded to an ad of looking for a home-based business. They responded to an ad saying, I have money. In fact, on your sheet, if you do the live leads, for example, it'll say, how much money are you willing to invest in a home-based business? And they'll say $250 or $500, or some of them will say $10,000 that they have to invest in a new business. And so it all depends on where you want to fish, buddy.
Okay.
So
that helps.
That's what I would do is I would go buy some great leads from ROM Success and let them know that Danny Johnson sent you, by the way. That'd be a good thing. Okay, so Lonnie, I hope I helped you out there. And again, there are plenty of people who run ads like that. Plenty of people that do that. You're just going to work a little bit of an uphill battle, that's all.
Okay, thank you, Danny.
You're welcome, Lonnie.
Yeah,
I appreciate the question.
I got a question.
Who are you?
My name is Baxter. I'm from Colorado.
Nice to hear you tonight. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, I've been involved in sales before, just, like, working with retail companies and stuff. I was just wondering, is it, like I know how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary for me to go to the Dallas, Texas conference, like, in order for me to succeed in this business?
You know what? This is so awesome that you asked this question, and without a shadow of a doubt, here is my answer. And this is, by the way, after me building sales forces to the tunes of tens of thousands of people. My salespeople were the ones who had to unlearn everything.
Okay,
so beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have to be there. You are going to, in fact, I just got an email from a guy who spent the last 20 years or so in sales and marketing training.
Okay.
Tommy Hopkins, he's been to all of those seminars. He's been to all the big gurus on sales and closing type seminars and did all of that kind of stuff, all the millionaires in sales, so to speak. He spent 8 years failing in network marketing.
Okay.
Got a hold of this two-day seminar. He is exploding. He said, I finally have learned how not to be a He said, I learned how not to be a slick salesperson, and I learned how to find out how to give people what they wanted, and he says, and people are flooding into my business like crazy. His closing ratios have shot through the roof, and here was a salesman who was great at selling things but couldn't get this one figured out. And so I cannot stress to you enough, if you have a sales background, you need to make sure you're in Dallas, Texas, and that's only if you want to build something fast and you want to build it efficient and make the most amount of profits that you can.
Okay, one more, like, just a little sub-question.
Yep.
what do you suggest? I'm a college student right now. What do you suggest for somebody who, like, is, like, putting most of his money into tuition and probably, like, can't afford, like, $1,500 by next month?
Okay, that's a great question, and what I would suggest to you is the same thing that we've suggested to the thousands and thousands of college students who have come. what I will tell you is that you will get more out of those 2 days because it's practical application versus practical application taught by a millionaire who is going to give you stuff that you can use that day. You will use it on the lunch breaks, and you will make money on the lunch breaks.
Okay.
Okay, so, and it's not going to cost you $1,500. I don't know. You just said you were in Colorado?
Yeah.
Get in a car and drive south.
I'm sorry?
The seminar is only $197.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes. Well, the seminar is $197. It's not $1,500.
Okay, well, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, get in a car, drive south, find a place to lay your head at night.
That's not a problem. I thought you said it was $1,500.
No, that's what I had to pay for, including all my expenses. My first seminar cost me $1,500.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
no, it's only $197.
Well, what did you say the price was?
$197.
Okay, well, that's not a problem. I thought it was $1,500.
So you make sure you come up to me and tell me you were the college student and shake my hand when I meet you there.
Be sure to do that.
Okay, awesome. Okay, well, guys, listen, we got 60 seconds left. That means I can't answer any more questions. Aww. Hopefully I've helped one or two of you on the call tonight. And I want to encourage you guys, if you think that my style is a little too strong, then just downplay it and customize it to who you are. But never be afraid to ask pointed questions so that you can help that person make a decision as to whether or not they really want to do something like this. And if you need help in that area, get those CDs, get to the seminar. I promise you, you will now understand the psychological process of people and why they need your help to ask them pointed questions like that. You can do it in a loving, soft way and still have an awesome closing ratio, an awesome ratio of bringing people into your business. Other than that, God bless each and every one of you. Let's go build an army in this industry and knock down some sales records in each and every one of your companies. What I want to see come out of the Dallas, Texas seminar is number one income earners for that month, meaning that you guys are the ones that get your boat. I am bound and determined to make sure that I equip you with everything possible to help you be those number one bonus earners for the month of April. So let's get out there and let's hit some great sales this week. I'll talk to you guys next Monday night. Invite tons of people on this call next Monday night, and let's just build your business to the next level. God bless each and every one of you, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Everybody say good night and God bless.
Thank you. Good night.
God bless.
Good
night.
Good night.
Right call.
Bye, Danny. God bless.
She's good. You're good.